Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. For our show and tell this morning, I have this bridge outside Selma, Alabama. 55 years ago, civil rights activists marched across this bridge on their way to the state capitol. They wanted the right to vote. Governor Wallace, the governor of Alabama at the time, sent the state police to stop them at this bridge, stopped them with violent force. A 25-year-old leader in that civil rights movement was beaten so violently that his skull was broken. But he didn't quit leading and speaking out. About 20 years later, the Honorable John Lewis was elected to the United States House of Representatives. He served for over 30 years in that capacity until the week before last, when he died of pancreatic cancer. John Lewis laid in state at the U.S. Capitol. Before that, he laid in state at the Alabama Capitol, that place that he had tried to go all those years before in Montgomery, Alabama. And the route there was via Selma. There is his funeral carriage pausing as it crosses the bridge, pausing at that place where he was met with violent force as he worked to secure rights, the rights that he had already been promised, but that had been denied him over and over again. His funeral wagon paused there in triumph, the triumph of this powerfully hopeful person. Representative Lewis, Reverend Lewis, drew that deep well of hope from his Christian faith. He was also an ordained Baptist minister. And his faith knew the road to life leads through death. It knew that the road to freedom leads through struggle. And the road to hope leads through lament. It's fitting that today we are in our second week of readings from the Book of Lamentations. As we come to Scripture, I hope you'll join me in a prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So just a little refresher on where we are. In the months of July and August, we are reading from some of the books of the Bible that we don't spend quite as much time with. And today, for the second week, we have readings from the Book of Lamentations. The Book of Lamentations is filled with poems, mourning poems, mourning how Jerusalem was conquered by the Babylonian Empire. Many of the people of Jerusalem were displaced, many others were left behind, and everyone suffered. You may remember from last week that there are multiple voices in the Book of Lamentations. Last week, we heard from this professional mourner who told the story of what had happened in this beautiful poetic speech. And this professional mourner was interrupted by the personification of Jerusalem in a female voice. This week begins with a voice who calls himself the strong man. And notice what is different here compared to the voices of last week? Here in Lamentations chapter 3, I am one who has seen affliction under the rod of God's wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Against me alone he turns his hand again and again all day long. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, gone is my glory and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it. To put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope. To give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. And then, in chapter 5, we come to another voice, a voice speaking on behalf of the whole community, finally a voice that speaks in the plural. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to aliens. We have become orphans, fatherless. Our mothers are like widows. Because of this, our hearts are sick. Because of these things, our eyes have grown dim. Because of Mount Zion, which lies desolate, jackals prowl over it. But you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures to all generations. Why have you forgotten us completely? Why have you forsaken us these many days? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. This, with no resolution, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was not gone last week, but busy with Synod School, which happened online this year, so I was right here where I always am. But I was at Synod School, which I always attend every summer, and I come back into congregation time with a couple of insights that I'm sitting with this morning. Our convocation speakers every evening were sort of a greatest hits from the past few years. One evening, Jason Brian Santos spoke about Sabbath. He talks about Sabbath as a time set apart, when we exchange the rhythms of everyday life, the rhythms of the everyday world, for the rhythms of God's life in us, God's life in our community together. Sabbath is a time that allows time for play. Jason's a big fan of play. When we can celebrate who God is and pass along the faith that we have inherited from one generation to another. Jason reflected on how Synod School creates a Sabbath time for those of us who participate. It creates this interruption in our normal routine. And that is an interruption that we actually carry with us in some ways into the rest of the year. And of course, he identified the ways that normal life is interrupted right now by the COVID-19 pandemic. He said that this too is an interruption to our normal rhythm. For so many of us, it's not a Sabbath interruption, but it's an opportunity for us to change the way that our patterns work, to carry something new into the rest of our life. And so his question to us was, when this ends, when this time ends, what will we carry with us into the future? When this time, this strange, separate time ends, what will we carry with us into the future? I also took a class each day on white privilege. We investigated the ways that the world is built in order to privilege people with my particular racial identity, and to do that so often at the expense of people of color. In the United States, the system is built to privilege me, especially at the expense of the descendants of enslaved Africans who were brought to this country. Racist structures are more than just hateful attitudes. These racist structures actually can be measured in economic imbalance and other kinds of imbalances built on discriminatory laws. In one reading that was published a few years ago, they looked back at the Great Recession of 2008 and identified the ways that in the United States, most families lost money, but black families lost much, much more than white families did. And as we look now at the COVID-19 pandemic, all the signs point to the same outcome, that the economic gap between particularly white people and black families and people of color more generally, that gap is going to continue getting bigger and bigger as a result of this disruption in our lives. Someone said early on in this pandemic, we say that we're all in the same boat. What we really mean is that we're all in the same storm, but some of the boats have been leaking for years, decades, centuries. When we come through this time, what do we want to bring with us into the future? The Book of Lamentations that we are looking at last week and this, the Book of Lamentations speaks to us in five different voices. We've heard from four of them. It speaks in five different voices as a way, I think, of reminding us that there's no one way to go through tragedy. There's no one way to go through what the people have experienced as they move through the tragedy in ancient Israel. It was conquest by stronger, more powerful empires around them. That means, among other things, that there's no one way to respond to this tragedy, this disruption, this time of upset that we are going through. That means, among other things, that if you are worried about what you've done during this time, remember that you can do what you can do. So Taylor Swift made an album that people describe as absolutely mind-blowing. I made oatmeal this morning. So we do what we can do. The Book of Lamentations ends with that poignant wondering, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. The Book of Lamentations leaves those voices unresolved. There are five voices, but no one of them is more right than another. It ends with this prayer for restoration, but the knowledge that it's not clear whether and how God will restore us. There is more than one truth to be told. That may be hard for us to hear. I know it's a little hard for me to hear still. I grew up learning that I should look for one overarching story that ties everything together, that the Bible should be one unified thing. Well, if you're ready to hear this, know that that need for one dominant interpretation, that's a symptom of a white supremacist culture that assumes there should only be one way to be. Now, these voices that are left unresolved in this book, they include voices both of anguish and of hope. That balance between anguish and hope is sometimes shaped by circumstance. Sometimes it's shaped by individual choice or the choice that a community makes together. Usually, that balance between anguish and hope is shaped by both circumstance and choice in really complicated ways. At its most profound, the Book of Lamentations tells the truth of how hard life can be. It finds ways to identify God at work in life, even if we can't yet tell how God's action is good. One of the most powerful ways that this book speaks is to blame God for what the people have suffered, acknowledging that the people may have brought this on themselves historically and in the context of a relationship with God, but God is still the actor here. God is still the agent in this story. And so there may yet be hope, because God may yet be faithful to God's people. It takes profound faith to keep moving forward in the face of tragedy, resistance, opposition, violence. That's a faith that John Lewis shared with the world. On Thursday, John Lewis published an op-ed in the New York Times. He specifically asked for this piece to be published on the day of his funeral. He wrote it from the hospital in his final days. I'm amazed at his presence of mind, his sense of his own place in history, his understanding that people are still looking to him even after he is gone. I'm humbled and awed by his faith in God's ongoing action in our world. In his final words to this world, John Lewis told his own story, beginning with his contemporary Emmett Till, who was 1 year younger than John Lewis. Lewis wrote, "I will never forget the moment." This was following Emmett Till's lynching. "I will never forget the moment when it became so clear that he could easily have been me. In those days, fear constrained us like an imaginary prison, and troubling thoughts of potential brutality committed for no understandable reason were the bars." Lewis went on to lift up the parallel modern names, names held in parallel with Emmett Till, names like Trayvon Martin, Ahmaud Arbery, Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina, a concert in Las Vegas, Elijah McClain. Lewis recognized the desperation that so many young people still feel today. He knew that desperation, he remembered that desperation because he too felt it. And then he said he found his way out of that desperation in Martin Luther King's philosophy and discipline of nonviolence. Lewis again. "Dr. King said it is not enough to say it will get better by and by. When you see something that is not right, you must say something, you must do something. Each generation must do its part to help build what we called the beloved community, a nation and world society at peace with itself." John Lewis wrote this final op-ed in the second person. He wrote it addressing directly the people who were already continuing his lifetime work for the value of black lives, for the work of genuine reconciliation in our world. And on the day of his funeral, he passed the baton to another generation. Another generation that has already picked up that baton, thank you very much, and he understood that. He passed the baton because he knew that he hadn't finished the work, but he also knew that the work didn't die with him. There is still a future. As the one who calls himself the strong man in the Book of Lamentations said it, "Therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Amen. And now, a moment for mission. One opportunity for giving that we try to hold in front of you every month is our Coins for Concern partnership. Our August Coins for Concern partner is Youth Emergency Shelter and Services. Youth Emergency Shelter and Services provides a place to go, a place to be for kids who are not able to be in their own families because of issues of trauma that have come to those kids in those families. And so Youth Emergency Services and Shelter provides trauma-informed services, a safety net to help kids when they need it most. Emergency shelter, crisis nursery care, mental health counseling, care coordination. Youth Emergency Services and Shelter is answering a need that is even greater now in the COVID-19 crisis than it has ever been. And we continue to share with them. We obviously can't receive your offering of loose change as we normally do when we gather in the sanctuary, but you can simply mark your contribution Coins for Concern. And this month, those contributions will go to support Youth Emergency Services and Shelter. We thank you for those gifts. We thank you for all the gifts that you offer to support Covenant and our mission partners. You can give online at wdmcovenant.org/donate or simply mail your check to the church. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.